Meeting for March 29th, 2012, the Senate Labor and Commerce to order at, I think we're pretty close, at 1:32. And with me today, Senator Giesel, Senator Davis, Vice Chair Senator Pascvan, myself, Chair Senator Egan. We have three items on the agenda today, and we are changing the order because Senator McGuire's staff is still presenting in Senate Finance. So item number one on the agenda is Senate Bill 143, Board of Architects, Engineers, Surveyors. Sponsor is Senator Giesel, has a further referral to Finance. We have heard the bill, so it's the intention of the committee to move the bill out of our committee if we have an affirmative vote. And also we have Senate Bill 128, Brewery Licenses Permits, has a further referral to Judiciary. And we will hear public testimony on that bill, and we will hold it until our next meeting. Senate Bill 211, PERS Credit for Military Service, sponsor Senator McGuire, has a further referral to Finance. We have heard the bill, and further discussion by the committee. Hopefully we will move that bill out of our committee. So first, Senate Bill 143, Board of Architects, Engineers, and Surveyors, sponsor Senator Giesel. And again, has a further referral to Finance. Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to comment that I appreciate you hearing the bill. I think that the architects, engineers, and land surveyors did an excellent job speaking their message and letting folks know why they need a dedicated investigator, especially with the expansion of the branches of licensure for engineers, expanding from 6 branches to 16. So I'll leave it at that, Mr. Chair, unless there's questions.
Further questions from the committee for the bill sponsor, and I see Ms. Long is here as well. She helped present the bill at her first hearing. Further questions of the committee? Senator Pascvan.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we move Senate Bill 143 version /M from this committee to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Is there objection? Take a brief edit. Convene the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee March 28th back to order at 1:34. And next bill on the agenda, Senate Bill 128, Brewery Licenses / Permits, has a further referral to Judiciary. And Senator McGuire's sponsor, and Genevieve Wodeshek? Close.
What's right? Music?
Okay. Sorry, I apologize. Ms. Wodeshek? Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Pascvan?
Yes, I believe we need to bring the CS. Right. Mr. Chair, I would move that we bring the CS for Senate Bill 128 version /I before the committee for purposes of discussion.
And I'll object for, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Genevieve Watusik, staff to Senator McGuire. She apologizes she is in Senate Finance at this time. The bill is an act relating to brewery licenses and brewery special events permits. It's going to amend the current statute, which is 04.11.080. Currently, the statute allows a brewery to sell as much as 36 ounces of beer a day to persons for consumption on the premises if the brewery does not allow entertainment, does not provide seats at the counter or bar where the product is served, and if the room where the consumption occurs is not open before 9 a.m. or after 8 p.m. The breweries that brought this bill to us are part of the Brewers Guild of Alaska. There's 18 members, 18 different breweries that are part of this guild. And they asked us to amend this law slightly by allowing breweries to have chairs or bar stools for consumption where they have their sampling bar, and also to extend the hours until 8 p.m. instead of, or until 10 p.m. instead of 8 p.m., excuse me. The second part of this bill, and more important part to them, would allow a brewery to apply for a brewery special events permit. This permit allows a brewery to sell or dispense beer manufactured on the brewery premises for a special occasion in a limited period of time, like an anniversary party or a first tap. It provides authority for the board to issue a brewery special events permit to the license holder if the permit is received at least 10 days before the event. It requires that the application for the brewery special events permit to be signed by the brewery license holder and also by a law enforcement agency having jurisdiction over the brewery premises. A brewery may not request more than 5 permits in a calendar year, and breweries are required to return the permit within 48 hours of expiration. And that's pretty much the bill and what it does.
Great, thank you, and I apologize for butchering your name.
No, no worries.
Okay. Questions from the committee for the presenter?
Could you tell me the changes in the bill, the CS that we have before us?
Mm-hmm. Ms. Wadasek.
Yeah, of course. Through the chair. This is the second CS. The first CS added the special events permits, which is what they wanted all along, and the latest CS, which is the one you're looking at, takes out the entertainment portion. They want to be able to have entertainment only 5 times a year, just during those special events. And right, the first CS made it sound like they could have live entertainment anytime they wanted. And Char's not happy with that, and we don't necessarily want that either. We want them to have entertainment only during those special brewery permits events.
Great, thank you. Further questions from the committee? Senator Pasquin.
Does this, obviously the ABC board's going to have to perform some type of investigation, I assume, and process it. Is there a charge for the brewery special events permit? You know, what is the, what occurs?
Yeah, through the chair, there is a $50 fee charge, and what happens is, and Shirley Giffords from ABC is on the line, so she can testify more to this, but they apply for it, and they can permit it, but it has to be first signed by law enforcement agency of the designated premise to make sure it's okay, and then ABC can sign off on it, but she can explain that process more thoroughly if you'd like.
Great, thank you, Senator Pasquin. We do have Shirley Giffords online, on OffNet, Director of Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. Questions from the committee for Director Gifford. Senator Pasquin, welcome, Ms. Gifford.
Thank you very much, Senator Egan.
Senator Pasquin.
Sure. In other words, as I understand then, for 5 times a year, $50 application, then a brewery special events permit might be issued?
Through the chair, Senator Pasquin, yes, that would be true. That would be a $50 fee per event. So it would not be 50 for the year for the 5 licenses or permits, but $50 per permit.
And then as far as the seating, is this temporary seating as compared to fixed seating? In other words, what is your understanding of that?
Through the chair, Senator Pasquin, the way I see this bill written, the brewery, they would like to provide seating at the counter or the bar where the product is served. My understanding is that that would be a permanent fix for the brewery and not for the special events permit. I could be mistaken on that, but that was my understanding of that, that there would be a bar at the brewery. And currently, the brewery does not allow for seating at the bar.
So if I understand that, then there will be permanent seating at the brewery bar?
Through the chair, yes. And the hours from 8 to 10, that would also be a permanent thing, not just during special events, is the way we intend the bill.
Senator Giesel.
When I was first reading this, I was thinking it was until 10 o'clock if you're having a special event and you wanted to you know, do something, but, you know, this seems to indicate that you can be open until 10 o'clock every night, permanent seating. That seems different than a brewery. That's just my gut feel.
Sure, through the chair. That was our intention. We can always change that, but that was the intention of the bill. And it's for sampling, so they, for a purchase of up to 36 ounces, so that's normally three beers, and that's as much as you can drink on premise.
Great. Senator Giesel, or Senator Bassett, did you have a...
Well, just if I could, following up on that, so they can't sell more than 36 ounces. Is there a limit on how much they can give away?
Yes, through the chair, and if Shirley doesn't know that answer, I can get it back to you and get on that. But Shirley, do you know that answer by chance?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Espan, the sampling, they provide free samples, but sampling is something that's a little bit up in the air right now, and in fact, it's going to be on the board agenda for the ABC board meeting here in Anchorage on May 16th, because it's been a question that I've been asked since I've been appointed to this position, what is a sample? And so there's been some, you know, debates on it and some different interpretations of what a sample ought to be and essentially what a drink ought to be. So we're addressing that at the next board of directors meeting, and probably could, I could better answer that after that meeting.
Senator Pascan.
Well, I'm trying to understand it in relationship to this language seems to say that you can sell essentially three beers, assuming a beer is 12 ounces, and so then you can give away in addition to sell, and if you can give away in addition to sell until 10 o'clock with a fixed seat, it starts sounding a lot like a bar as compared to a brewery.
Through the chair, Senator Pascan, that's certainly one of the arguments that you would hear from industry.
And by that, I assume you're meaning either the restaurant, pub, or the beverage dispensary license holders?
Through the chair, Senator Pascan, probably mostly beverage dispensaries, because that is the type of thing that they can do, they can have their patrons do inside a beverage dispensary. Now, under the brew pub license, you can provide, it states you can provide a small sample of the brew pub beer manufactured on the premises free of charge, unless prohibited under another statute. But under the brewery license, it doesn't have that wording in statute that you can provide a small sampling. So, I don't see that in this CS bill either. So I don't know if that was the intention to include small samples with this permit, but I'm not seeing that.
Well,
it's my understanding that under the brewery license now, you can provide free samples. It's just that you can never charge for them and you can't have fixed seating. Is that inaccurate?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, through the chair, Senator Pascan, you're right. The holder of a brewery license may permit a person to sample small portions. It's the same as the brew pub, free of charge. I didn't see that right away, but you're absolutely right.
And I guess just the last, does the ABC board have a position on whether this bill is a good thing or not?
Through the chair, Senator Pascan, we really don't have an opinion on that one way or the other. It's not something that would cost the ABC board in terms of needing additional resources. It's certainly something we could do within the resources that we have.
Great. Further questions for Ms. Gifford. Senator Giesel, did you have?
My question was answered. Thank you, sir.
Great. Thank you, Senator Giesel. Director Gifford, we have a brewery here in Juneau that's keeps getting larger and larger, and we have thousands of tourists that tour the brewery every summer. How would this affect Alaska Brewing.
Senator Egan, the way that that would affect it is they could do these special events five times a year. They're limited to five times a year. So in terms of being able to do that to accommodate the tourism season, I don't see that happening. They might be able to get all of their special events for their five special events for the summer, but...
Right, yeah, and Alaska Brewing does do special events, but I'm assuming that they wouldn't be prohibited from providing small samples to tourists to come out and tour the brewery, like you're doing now.
Yes, Senator Egan, that's certainly my understanding, yes.
Great, thank you. And we have an additional member or person signed up to testify, Bob Wynn, the Anchorage LIO, representing LAMEX. Mr. Wynn, welcome, and provide your testimony.
Thank you very much. As everyone's talking about, and Ms. Gifford was also mentioning, that this is an interesting change to the current law. One of the current, or the biggest issues to me as a member of the industry is that it violates the three-tier system. Our Title IV was set up very specifically to have three very distinct areas, and we had the manufacturing, the wholesale level, and then the retail level. And by allowing this kind of thing, we're breaking that down. And as a holder of a couple of beverage dispensary licenses, we are devaluing the licenses that people have spent many, many, many dollars on. And so I'm just not sure how we can continue to do this. If we're looking to create a tavern license in the state of Alaska, we should look to other states, and that could be addressed in a different way. But to continually water down Title IV is an extreme concern of mine. There are many ways that these breweries have the opportunity to pull off these same special events. It was just to ask about Alaska Brewing and doing their special events. The way that these can be handled is that they have the opportunity to partner with one of the retailers that's selling their product. When this first came up when I was in Juneau a couple of months ago, we were discussing, and I immediately told the guys at King Street Brewing, who are 200 yards away from our Diamond location, that I would be more than willing to take a catering permit and provide them the same kinds of issues that they're looking for here. And it would be legal to do without having to create a whole new class of license or permit. As a guy that started out when these craft breweries were just starting to come around, being from the Seattle area, I was one of the first people to take kegs from the Red Hook Brewing Company. And one of the great things about partnering with these guys in business is that we as retailers have the opportunity to do these anniversary parties because the brewery can't do them at the brewery themselves. It's an opportunity for us to work with these brewers and to get them over to our locations or us to cater to their locations in this long-term partnership. And I'm afraid that when we break that down, we're taking away one of the reasons for businesses, retailers, to work with breweries. At that point, why would I want to work with these smaller breweries if I can come up with small local breweries if they're going to be competing against me 5 days later with their yearly anniversary or their first tap party or these other options that they have? In turn, I would turn as a business person and say, well, then I'm not going to carry your product because I don't want to compete against myself. And I would also look to do things where I could probably save money. It would be just an issue of, okay, who's got the cheapest beer then, instead of trying to support your local breweries. So those are just a few of my thoughts on what this can do and what the ramifications of this bill are, and obviously I'm not in support of it.
Great. Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Wynn. Questions for Mr. Wynn from the committee? Senator Pasquin.
You know, what I'm interested in is, what is your understanding of the distinction of the special events permit as compared to fixed seating every day? In other words,
this bill has kind of been kind of a moving target. The draft that I have sitting in front of me actually doesn't address the fixed seating, but I agree. As soon as we get into fixed seating, it's no longer a tasting at a brew pub. It becomes a place to go drink and enjoy beer, and then you've created a tavern license. And that's, I don't believe that's the goal. I believe the goal of Title IV is to keep these very distinct parts of the alcohol industry very separate.
Senator Pasquin, anything further?
No, not at the moment.
And so, Senator Egan, so you're saying that, in the way I read it, it would sort of be like the brewery would be competing with your business. Is that correct?
No question. I've got King Street Brewery 200 yards away from me. At this point, they're doing small tastings with tables and chairs for about maybe 16, 18 people. But as soon as we open the door for them to be able to sell these tastings five times a year and put up a big tent outside of their building and go into other areas that are much more of the gearing permits allow, they are direct competition for me.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Nguyen. Further questions for Mr. Nguyen from the committee? Speaking of King Street Brewing Company, and I'm really going to butcher this one. I mean, I butchered your name, Genevieve, but I apologize for that. But Dana Wolukowicz?
Wolukowicz?
Gosh, got it right. King Street Brewing. Welcome, Mr. Wolukowicz, to the committee.
Hi. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If the committee doesn't mind, I have just a few short prepared remarks that I'd like to take. That should take only about 3 or 4 minutes.
You bet. Have at it.
If I can. Okay, thank you. I just want to give you a little background on King Street Brewing Company. Shane Kingery and myself established King Street Brewing Company last year, primarily with our own funds and a lot of hard work. The brewing company is based in Anchorage, as Bob has mentioned there, and is licensed as a brewery under Alaska Statute 411-130. We, as a very small craft brewery, we primarily self-distribute our ales and lagers to bars and restaurants in the Anchorage area, including La Mex. We have a very small production facility on King Street, and at that facility we have a tap room that is open 3 days a week from 4 to 8 p.m. and on Saturday from 1 to 8 p.m. To date, Shane and I have invested over $500,000 into the venture, which is no small amount for us, and began King Street by spending almost every evening and just about every holiday, weekend, and vacation day from our day jobs for well over a year planning and building the brewery. We finally began brewing in August of 2011. A few months ago, we hired our first employee, Mr. Dave Short, and we were able to hire Dave due to the demand that we were able to generate through a lot of grassroots marketing originating from our tap room. As a small startup business, our advertising dollars pale in comparison with the national and international brands that have unlimited marketing budgets that we are competing against. So we utilize our tap room as a means to introduce people to our beer and spread the word about our offerings. As been mentioned, our tap room is very small. It's only about 300 square feet and has 5 tables. At the tap room, people are welcome to sample our beers and fill growlers, which are half-gallon jugs, for off-site consumption. One of the most commonly asked questions at our tap room is, where can I get your beer? And we happily answer by listing the local establishments that serve or currently sell our beer. We also list all the bars and restaurants that carry our beer on our website. At the tap room, we collect the email addresses of interested customers and routinely post updates on Facebook and send emails to our followers on where or when our beers are featured at new establishments. We now have over 250 Facebook followers, and we are reaching nearly 300 people on our mailing list. We hope to grow this list, and as we know that these efforts help bring help send customers to many of our locally owned establishments that serve our beer. As you're probably aware, the activities that are conducted on the brewery's premises are limited by the statute. I'm speaking here in support of the Senate bill, as it would provide us some additional opportunities to grow our business, which will result in us being able to hire more employees and promote more local establishments. Specifically, extending our hours of operations from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. would make it worthwhile for us to hire individuals year-round, specifically for the tap room, as we could now be open for a full 6 hours. Additionally, the special use permits would give us the ability to host promotional events such as the anniversary party that we could use to promote our product, as well as bars and restaurants that serve our beer. Eventually, we'd have enough demand. We would like to add personnel solely dedicated to serving our accounts. As such, we ask for your consideration of Senate Bill 128, as would help promote local businesses.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Olikowitz. Questions from the committee. Senator Pasquin.
What do you believe that the brewery special events permit under 128 would allow you to do on a day-in and day-out basis?
On a day-in and day-out business, I don't think it would really affect us, change our nature of operations a whole lot. I think it would just be something that, maybe a couple times a year we would host an event, and we would certainly, as others have mentioned, invite other vendors or our establishments to participate on our premises. But what it does allow us to do is give us a little bit of control on how the brand is marketed. If we were to use someone else's catering permit, for example, we lose a bit of control on how the alcohol is dispensed. We generally have to use other people's servers and such. And as trying to develop a brand, it's very important for us to promote it in such a manner that's consistent with our with how we like to have the public see us.
With respect to sales of not more than 36 ounces, when does that apply?
The 36-ounce rule, as I understand it, applies to our taproom consumption. So as a patron may come in or a potential customer comes in and wants to sample our products, we're limited to the amount of beer that we can sell to them for on-site consumption. We are not asking to change that. For the special events permit, we would, and that being the couple times a year, we would like that to be the special events permit to supersede that, so that, in fact, we could serve more. They'd be able to sample different products and in a different amount of, in a different quantity.
So again, that focuses on the seating issue. So then on a daily basis, people could come in, sit down, and purchase up to 3 beers a day.
That is correct. 3 12-ounce beers. That is currently the law, and we are able to do that under the current law.
But not sit down.
Currently, we're allowed to have tables and chairs in the tap room. There is a provision that is being removed that relates to chairs at the bar specifically. And I think that's caused a lot of confusion. No one really understands how that provision got in there in previous years. We do not have a traditional bar. I don't know of any brewery that plans to put in a kind of bar. We just have sit-down tables and chairs.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Olikowitz. You heard the testimony of Mr. Wynn, and I appreciate what Mr. Wynn said. Would you respond to that?
Absolutely.
I guess your neighbor. He's your neighbor.
Correct. And in fact, we do sell beer to Mr. Wynn at LawMex. There, he's one of our first accounts. We certainly do not want to operate like a bar or a restaurant. That was not the intention of this act or this bill. And we, in hearing certain concerns from particularly Char, we had modified the language here so that the prohibition on live music remains in the bill during normal working hours. Our intention here is not to have a place where people can come early in the morning to have beer, drink beer and such like that. We are keeping the limit on the amount of consumption at 36 ounces. As far as a business owner, though, and with very limited means, we look for every opportunity, including promotions at the restaurants and such, to do beers. And we've had first taps at the first restaurant that carried our beer, and we plan to do that in the future and look forward to opportunities to work with Mr. Nguyen at his restaurant there just down the road. I send a number of customers down there saying, hey, they've got our beer there, and please support that restaurant. I personally have been going to his restaurant in the last 40 years, my family. I just think this, in terms of a means of competing directly against them, I don't think we're really taking away all that business. In Mr. Nguyen's case, he has one of our beers, which is great. We'd love to have more of our beer there, but it's we currently have seven styles and just need venues to be able to introduce all seven of those styles out to various bars and restaurants and people around town.
Okay, thank you. And I guess one more question, and then Senator Pascon also has another question. Mr. Nguyen offered up testimony that's, the way it's currently written, you could use his catering license. Do you have a comment on that?
Yes. Yeah, sure, absolutely. We understand that, and we'll look for opportunities to utilize that. However, what it does do, if we use his catering license or anybody else's, is it takes the control away from us as far as how the product is served. Then it is the caterer's license and their responsibility as they're the permit holders. Generally, when we go out there and we are doing a promotional event, we believe it's important to remain and keep that responsibility. As it is our product, and it's our manner in which we want it to be displayed and consumed is consistent, and obviously not and done in a safe manner. So, in that respect, we find it important to and necessary to control that, especially on our own premises, and that's why we're looking in support of this bill.
Okay, so you wouldn't be concerned about his comments about the dilution of the value of his license.
I think I certainly can understand that as a business owner who's put a lot of money into a business, that there's we all have invested a lot of money and don't want to lose that kind of investment. I don't see that as having a couple events a year as diluting his value or taking business away from him. If anything, it's going to bring more people to the area. Once that event is gone, people are going to look that are in the area are going to look for our beer, and hopefully we can put it and maybe hungry, and we can point them in the direction of Lamex, which is just a few doors down, to say, hey, if you want to have dinner and our beer, it's over here. So I think these kind of activities, promotions, and events help to generate the industry and grow the industry, the local craft brewing industry, in a much better global scale that benefits all the participants in the industry.
Great, thank you, Mr. Wilkowitz. Senator Pascan.
Are brewery employees required to take alcohol sales classes?
Yes, all of our servers are DIPS or TAMS certified servers. They must complete a 3-hour course and then take a test at the end of it. And that certification has to be redone every 3 years, I believe.
Senator Pascan, no. Nothing further. Further questions from the committee? Great. Thank you, Mr. Wilkowitz. And we do have Deborah Kasich also online on OffNet, representing Kasich's Brewery in Kenai. Deborah, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can't add a whole lot more than what King Street already did, but I'll give you a little history about us. We're a family-owned business with 6 employees, three of which are family members. We've been in the business for going on 6 years, and we're looking for the brewery permit to help market and grow our business and hire more people. And basically, we do a lot of events. We do nonprofit type events. And we don't have a lot of caterers, but for these events, our focus is for the nonprofit. So we're donating our beers. We're donating all the equipment. We're donating glassware, door prizes. We help with radio ads. When we do something outside the brewery, it is mostly for that event, whether we've done a few bars and restaurants, but we make sure that the focus is on the person holding the event. We do a lot of stuff in the community. We have a small business award and a community service award from the chamber, and we're very, very proud to be a part of our community. But these don't always help us. I mean, it doesn't bring people to the brewery. It doesn't give us a one-on-one and show people what we're doing and what we're about to do and try all of the different samples that they want to try at these events. Trying to think of other ways to put it, but the special events permit for an anniversary party or a holiday or a new release is a great way for us to get out there and market it. It gives us a little bit of extra cash flow, but I don't feel like it competes with our local bars and restaurants. We're now bottling, and we're always telling people where they can get the bottles. We're statewide. We're always going out and doing events. We have one up here in Smart again in a little while. We're always out there, but when we go, we promote the other establishments.
Great. Thank you very much.
So we are definitely for the special events permit, and we're actually the ones that started it a year or so ago, wrote the letter. I took it to the ABC board to introduce it, just so that they had an idea of what we were thinking.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Kasich. Questions from the committee for Ms. Kasich? Great. Deborah, thank you very much for taking the time and sticking around to testify. Director Gifford, I'm assuming you're still online. Did you have any comments after the testimony?
Senator Egan, they were unmuting me at the time you were talking, so I'm not exactly sure what your question is.
I said, did you have any further comments from the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board after hearing the testimony?
Senator Egan, just one thing. I believe the requirement for the brewery to have the alcohol server education course is through a municipal ordinance. Breweries currently are not required by state law to ensure that the licensee or their employees have an alcohol server education course.
So let me get this straight. So you're saying that it's up to the individual municipality to adopt that ordinance?
Senator Egan, no, it's not necessarily up to the municipality to do that. It's just that currently in statute, it covers 7 different types of licenses where an alcohol server course must be approved by the board. And breweries are not part of that, although number six on the list under 421.025, the alcohol server education course, it says pub. So there is a brew pub license and there's a brewery license, and those are 2 distinct licenses. Breweries are not on this list of requiring an alcohol server education course, and my recommendation is, if this goes forward, that be incorporated as an amendment to include breweries, since there would be serving of alcoholic beverages.
Good suggestion. So right now they wouldn't, and I hate to keep picking on my hometown brewery, but the folks at Alaska Brewing wouldn't be required to have TAM cards.
That's right.
Great, thank you. Senator Pascan.
Yes. You know, under 411.130 E2, it talks about the brewery does not provide seats, and then it seems to, after that it says, at the counter or bar where the product is served. What is the ABC board's understanding of why the brewery does not provide seats at the counter or bar? What's function is that mean under the current statute?
Through the chair, Senator Passban, I'm speculating here because I haven't seen the intent of the legislation regarding that, but my speculation is that if you have seating at the bar within the brewery, then that brewery is taking on the characteristics of a beverage dispensary. And I believe that's the reason why counter space or chairs at the bar have not been allowed. And it is correct from the licensee from King Street Brewing that tables are allowed away from the bar if a bar, an actual bar, does exist.
Thank you.
Okay, further questions of Director Griffin, as long as the committee is, the senators are standing by, no other questions. Thank you very much, Director Gifford, for sticking around and providing answers. We have no one else signed up to provide public testimony on Senate Bill 128. Ms. Wadasek, thank you very much for presenting the bill. And we will I would like to hold public testimony open for the next meeting. We can close it and get the bill out of here, but hold it for one more if there is no objection from the committee. Okay, we will hold the bill to our next hearing. Thank you very much for your testimony. Next, the last thing on the agenda today is, we've heard this bill previously, Senate Bill 211, First Credit for Military Service, sponsor of Senator McGuire. Mr. Pawlowski, welcome back to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To refresh the committee's memory, the purpose of Senate Bill 211, and more specifically the purpose of the committee substitute that was adopted at the last hearing, is to provide an opportunity for peace officers or firefighters to purchase up to 5 years of previous military service and allow that purchase to be credited towards their qualification for medical care within the existing statute. So that is not allowed under current statute. We held the bill last time in waiting for a fiscal note, which we had not received. The committee has since received the fiscal note based on the CS and a little bit of information from Buck Consulting, because remember the goal of the bill is if the employees elect to ask for this extra benefit, it is the intent of the sponsor that they, and the intent of the people interested in the bill, that they would pay the cost to the state of providing that benefit. So the actuarial tables you have is about as good an idea as we can get at this point, but wanted to get that information to the committee so they could fully understand the bill and the implications of it.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Pawlowski. Questions from the committee for the presenter? Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would move that we move the CS for Senate Bill 211 version /M from this committee to the next committee referral with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Is there objection? We'll take a brief at ease. reconvene Senate Labor and Commerce, and I'll just, for the benefit of the committee members, we've worked hard so far this session, and our caseload is starting to diminish, so, and that's a good thing. And we've done a lot of great work. I expect that we're going to start getting a lot of bills from the House that we will be addressing, so I'm assuming it'll be a busy next couple of weeks. Thank you for attending, and we're adjourned.